Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Every year, hundreds of thousands of Australians fall victim to financial scams. In the first 11 months of 2025, the ACCC Scam Watch recorded more than $311 million worth of reported losses to scams from 187,000 people. That's money taken out of retirement savings, out of bank accounts, and out of investments from Australians of all ages and backgrounds. So on today's show, we are going to talk about keeping money in the bank safe, and not just what banks are doing to protect customers, but the practical steps that everyone can take. And to help us unpack all of that, I'm very pleased to say that we are joined today by Olivia McArdle, Head of Payments and Deposits at Macquarie Bank. Olivia, a very warm welcome to Friends of Money. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Before we crack in, Olivia, it'd probably be useful for everyone to hear a little bit more about you and your role. So would you be able to give us, a quick rundown of what you do at Macquarie?
Yeah, sure. So I'm responsible for the deposits and payments part of the Macquarie Retail Bank. So we look after everyone who wants to deposit funds with us and any of the payments that they need to make from those bank accounts.
Well, it sounds like you're an excellent person to speak to on this topic then, Olivia, as we knew already. So let's get into the meat of today's episode. To start off, what are some of the built-in security features that most Australians already have in their, banking apps or online banking platforms? And how can customers ensure that they're actually getting the most out of these features?
There's a number of security features that are available. I'll give you just a couple of examples. The first one that we'd all hear about is two-factor or multi-factor authentication. So put that simply, it just means that in addition to your username and password when you log in, you're also using another code. It's either an SMS or a code from a standalone authenticator app. Then you've got some other features, which might be your face ID or fingerprint, and of course, there's passwords. Bit of a note on SMS, we are seeing that banks and online providers are moving away from SMS codes. Mm. And that's because it's easier for scammers to intercept them. And they don't always provide you any information. You just get this sort of six-digit code that you're supposed to use. So something that we use here at Macquarie is our Macquarie Authenticator app. It's a standalone, it's a separate app. And the beauty of it is it gives you so much more context about the payment. So it'll tell you, of course, the amount, but also the origin, where you're sending it and where you're sending it from. And then most importantly, it'll send you the time and the approximate location of where the payment request is being made from. So you're going to have a lot more information before you say yes or no on that payment. So as a banking customer, I'd say the key thing is be proactive about your own security, understand the different features that different banks offer, and choose the ones that suit you best.
I got to say, I'm very much used to using two-factor now and always find it a little bit strange when I'm prompted with text message authentications at this point. So the quicker everyone moves away from those, the better. Olivia, outside of apps and online platforms, are there any, more basic phone or computer habits or bits of hygiene that people can adopt that can, make a difference when it comes to keeping their money safe?
Yes. There's a number of things you can do to make sure that your device is safe. We've talked about passwords. That's the first one. This sounds basic. You've got to make sure they're long, they're unique, and use a password manager so you're not tempted to reuse them. So you put a one at the end or a dollar sign or something like that. Secondly, make sure the device itself is secure. Again, it sounds basic, but get your screen lock on, use your biometrics, all of those kinds of things. Make sure the device is safe. And finally, and this can be an annoying one for people, but make sure that those software updates that you get told about, make sure you do them. And if you think about the reason why you're being asked by Apple and Google to constantly update your device, it's because scammers are always looking for those little glitches and, chinks in the armor. And so the software providers are out there sending you a patch, and that patch is making sure that your device is as up to date as possible. So if you treat the update like a security task, as opposed to just some annoying inconvenience, it's really a mind shift that's worth making.
I'm so guilty of never turning off my phone, never resetting my phone, never updating my phone. So I very much have had to have that drilled into my head over the last year or so. I'm a bit better with my work laptop, if anyone's listening from our RTE department. But personal phone could definitely use a little bit more updating. So that's a really good point, Olivia. I guess sell on the defensive side of things, I guess beyond these features that people can employ, I assume that awareness of the kind of, you know, scams that are out there can also be helpful for people to be aware of. So I guess what are some of the more common or emerging scams that you're seeing right now, Olivia? And are there any, you know, telltale signs that people should be aware of in order to spot them?
I would say there are two main scams that we see. First one is investment scams and the second one is a romance scam. So investment scam, it's one of the top scams by amount of losses, and it involves the criminal, the scammer, tricking you into investing your money in some fake opportunity. They promise a high return, low risk, and instead they steal your money. And we see lots of quite sophisticated tactics. They're using fake websites. You'll hear about celebrity endorsements, a lot of things on social media. And the common thing in all of them is this pressure to act fast. And they're really good at sounding quite legitimate. The second one, and this is really sad, I see this a lot, is romance scams. So you meet someone on a dating app, you build a connection. After a while, the chat will turn to an investment opportunity that they know about, might be a crypto investment or a loan to help them or help a family friend. They'll encourage you to move off the platform. So they'll say, let's go onto WhatsApp or let's go onto text or something like that. You get caught up in the moment. You think you've met, you know, the love of your life, and then sadly you haven't, and you end up losing some money. So again, urgency is a common theme. So what they'll be saying to you is, you know, your account is compromised. I really need your help. This needs to be done today. And all of it, they're trying to push you to act before you can think. So my best advice in all of these situations is simply to pause. If something feels off, stop. Verify independently, contact your bank, make sure it's through the official channel, even speak to family or friends. Sometimes you find by just saying the words out loud to someone else makes you realize that it's a scam.
I think this kind of flows on quite nicely to what you were just saying, Olivia, and I've been in the situation before, so I'd interested to know what you'd say, although it's been probably about 5 years since this happened. Let's say that I realize that I've been scammed or that my bank account or card has been compromised and there are, I don't know, some suspicious looking transactions in there that I've noticed. What should I do? And are there any common mistakes that people also make in situations like these that are worth avoiding?
Yeah. So the first thing in terms of what you should do is you should lock your card. So in your mobile app or on your computer, first, if you think your card detail has been compromised, go in and lock it. So that'll stop it. Next thing, contact your bank. Make sure it's through the official channel. And then once you've contacted them, your bank will help you with blocking your account. They'll also contact the other bank to help start seeing if there's some recovery you can get of the money that may have been stolen. And then the next thing is to secure your account. So we talked about earlier two-factor authentication. You want to make sure that you've put that on. You know, if you hadn't gotten around to it, that's the time to do it. And your password. So you want to change your password on any banking app, social media, emails, things like that. And the final thing is also immediately stop any engagement with the scammer. You don't want to keep talking to them. And you also asked about common mistakes that people make. So there's a couple things we see here. So the first one is people actually delay taking action. So you're a bit embarrassed. You feel silly that you got caught up in the scam. You don't really want to tell anyone. That's not a good thing to do, because the best thing you can do is tell your bank quickly so we can get into recovering your money as quick as possible. You might change your bank password, but you forget about all your other passwords. So you forget about your email, your social media. And then lastly, we actually see, as odd as this sounds, we see people continue to talk to the scammer. So
really?
They think, I'm going to confront them. I'm going to try and get my money back. And we're starting to see now this sort of scam recovery people who contact you as well. And all of that is just part of the elaborate scam. So in summary, lock your card, contact your bank through the official channel, and enable two-factor authentication.
Some really good tips there. Olivia, beyond what individuals can do, I'm actually really interested in how banks actually go about spotting scams and fraud behind the scenes as well. So, are you able to, I guess, pull back the curtain a little bit as much as you can and let us know what you're looking for as a bank and how you actually detect bad actors?
There's many techniques that banks are applying behind the scenes, I'm sure, as you'd imagine. A lot of it comes down to really understanding what's normal for the customer and then spotting when something doesn't fit. So you're using behavioral biometrics to help in this case. So what banks are looking for is lots of signals. So it might be your behavior. What do you generally do? What devices do you have, whether that's your phone or your computer? Timing, so when do you do things? Destination of funds, so where do you usually send your funds to? It's not just one thing in isolation. And then when something raises a concern, we might slow the payment or we'll hold it. Now, I guess I can speak from experience here. This tends to frustrate customers because you might be saying, I know what I'm doing. I know I want to make this payment. Just don't slow me down. But in those situations, what we're doing is we're saying, hey, we're just going to put a little bit of a pause in here. It'll give us both time to review what's happening and we can get a little bit more verification from you before you proceed. So that's banks on their own. This, I guess, fighting scammers is an industry-wide thing, and it's about the network of all the banks working together. And so we've joined a group called BioCatch Trust. And what this is, it's a number of banks have joined this group, and this enables us to give information and also receive information. So if we've got a customer paying to another bank and they're part of this group, we can see, oh, the account that you're paying to, even though it's not an account with us, it's a safe place. It has a good rating. You should pay to that account. So that enables us to see that it's bigger than any one bank. It's this whole of economy approach, and Macquarie is playing a really active role in that network.
That's so interesting. I didn't realize that existed. It makes complete sense, especially when you're trying to, make sure that people are sending money to legitimate places and to where they want to send money to at the end of the day. This probably relates to this as well, Olivia, but I'm also interested a little bit in what banks are doing to, I guess, improve security and reduce scams overall. So are there any new measures or, I guess, bits of technology coming down the pipeline that you can tell us about?
Yes, we have a number of initiatives underway. A whole of economy approach is really crucial here because you've got the scammers who are quite innovative and they're constantly coming up with new techniques. Mm. So we're wanting to work across social media, the telco networks, digital platforms and banks so that we can keep that network that I talked about that can keep getting stronger. We've got an industry initiative called the Scams Prevention Framework that all the banks are part of, and those other industries are also part of that. So that means that we're investing across the system, not just one person's doing that at one time. And of course, all the banks are continuing investing in technology too. We talk about a level of acceptable friction. You want sort of a little bit of grit in the wheels, not too much, but a little bit of grit so that we make sure that the customers are making a safe transaction. And then finally, education. It's the final piece. We want to help customers understand what a scam looks like. So conversations like this. You know what to look out for. We've had holiday periods. They're really key times, say the summer break that we've just come through here. People are a little bit more relaxed. Your guard is down. That's a time when scammers like to get involved. So constantly moving battle that we keep investing in to keep our customers safe and keep the scammers out.
The point you made about friction there, Olivia, is so interesting because, as a customer, I've been on both sides. I've been overseas wanting to make transactions and my bank's been blocking me and I've been like, what are you doing? I'm just trying to book tickets to go to this dance workshop in Spain. Why aren't you letting me do that? And then on the other side, I've had times where I'm nervously transferring, relatively large amounts of money for a house and thinking, oh, please just make sure that this goes through to the right place and please make sure all the protections are in place. So I get why they're in place. And at the end of the day, if it prevents people losing money, then so much the better. Anyway, this has been such an interesting and also practical chat, which is the kind of chat that we love on Friends with Money. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks, Tom.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends of Money will be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.